Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve. Cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome back to another scorching hot episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who always makes the 25. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you tonight?
I am strong and healthy. How are you all?
Yeah, not too bad. So obviously this is our last show before opening day. So that of course means it's the hot take bold prediction episodes.
We have flawless record with these. We've yet to be wrong.
Yes, all of them have come true. My phone has been literally on fire all day. It has been a hazard. Several people have told me you really should look into that.
That seems dangerous to me. Do you stop, drop, and roll, or do you have an extinguisher of some sort? Or
I stop the phone, I drop it, and I roll it. I mean, I'm not the one that's right on fire.
Must be one of those Samsungs, right?
we'll get to this in a little bit, but opening day rosters are now set for the Tigers and all other teams. We only talk about the Tigers, but there are other teams in Major League Baseball.
This is a Tigers podcast, in case you're a first-time listener.
And it's the baseball team, not the animal.
Although we have some crossover appeal.
Yeah, just a little bit. Did you see the clip of Padres starting pitcher Chris Paddock being told on the mound, like as he was coming out from his last spring start, that he made the team?
I did, and his teammates were around him, and it was fairly adorable, was it not?
It was. Like, I don't know. You get in the mode of these guys are just baseball robots. They go up there, they throw baseball hard, and they hit baseball far. Like, that is a dream that you know, grown-up kid just fulfilled. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, baseball players literally carry clubs around with them, to actually use the word literally appropriately. But yes, they have feelings and emotions.
Yeah, just like you and me. Just like you.
Yeah, it's just like the segment of Us Weekly. Celebrities are people just like us. I'm a big people list. You know, I like to read celebrity magazines.
Do you?
No, I don't.
I was going to say, that actually surprises me, just a hair. No,
I can't stand it. Mrs. Wayne is big into the magazines, though.
So. I can see you get all kinds of subscriptions to your house.
A couple. Yeah.
Who were you happier about making the team, our team, going back to? White Sox legend Gordon Beckham or Dustin Peterson?
Well, Beckham, because on the last podcast, we didn't exactly have conflict, Hall, but I suggested to you that Beckham is probably the first choice to make the team, and you poo-pooed me. So I had a little bit of, you know, sweet vindication when he actually did make the team.
With all due respect to Gordo, I do not regret my poo-pooing in the slightest. And just like I tweeted to you, like, you may have won this, but we are all losers when Gordon Beckham is on the 25-man roster of your team. With all due respect to Gordo.
I'm far more excited about Peterson. I mean, he had a really good spring, and he's like a real prospect. Beckham is like 32.
Yes, I mean, as I've now reached 30, I will say 32. It's not that old, but
long in the tooth.
You know who's real excited about Dustin Peterson making the club?
Who's that?
Big Steve. He's been
Steve.
He's been on the Dustin Peterson train since the beginning, which is odd. But he's He's in his element right now. Anyway, brings us this week's leadoff question. How would you want the news that you hadn't made the 25-man roster be broken to you?
The manner in which you do it is less important to me that you do it directly and you do it as soon as you've decided. Like, I don't want you to I don't want to be hanging out on a limb any longer than I have to. Like, if you've decided I haven't made it, go right up to me, say, Eric, good efforts, but you've not made the team.
Okay, so
that's
little,
what I want.
A little more
rip
old
the
school.
Band-aid off.
Okay.
Yeah, I want rip the Band-Aid off. I don't want to, you know, milk it out with, you know, whatever. Oh. Just tell me.
As you know, I'm a millennial, so I have maybe a little bit different take on this.
You gotta protect your feelings.
Yeah, you know what protects my feelings the best is food. Like, if you're gonna tell me bad news,
write it on a cake.
Yeah, give me something that I can eat that will help me, you know, get over my pain. I would like it if they got me a pizza that spelled out, you know, sorry you didn't make it, or you're number 26 or something in pepperoni. I feel like that would that'd be the right choice.
A little long. Just if they could just put no.
No, yeah, there we go. Yeah, there's no reason to beat around the bush with pepperoni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big down arrow, but you have to import. You got to turn it the right way then to make sure it's communicating the right message.
I guess you could do triple A, like three A's, assuming that's where I would be going.
Or double A, yeah, maybe in your case. Yeah.
Oh, unnecessary dig. if you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comerica Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. I am on the Instagram at Jordinho4, primarily baseball and animal pictures. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And Eric, guess what? I remembered to come up with some of the reviews since last episode.
Promises kept,
which has been several episodes ago because this is the first time I've looked, I think, this season. All right. I pulled up two. But this does prove that we do read them. We do appreciate, and they're very nice.
We are men of our words, or man of Jordan's words.
The first one comes from River Orns. 5 stars. The boys are back. And this is the review. Binge listened to every episode from the last weekend, I'm assuming season, in less than 2 weeks. So happy they're back for the season. That's
commitment.
That's some real dedication. I don't know that I could listen to my own voice like that in 2 weeks. I know Whitney couldn't do it, but we appreciate it, River. Or whatever your name is, as that very well may not be your actual name.
River Phoenix? People are named River. Bodies of Water. Lake Speed.
There's
fine.
A name Lake?
There's a person named Lake. There's a former NASCAR driver. His name was Lake Speed. Would I lie to
that
you?
That cannot be a real NASCAR name. Like a real name. Like Lakes. There's nobody named Speed that drives a
Lake
race car.
Lake Speed. Do you not have an infinite knowledge machine in your pocket in which you could verify such claims?
I do, but
we'll do it later. We'll do it later.
For sure not going to. And the other one is from PJT_Kaniac. 5 stars. Glad they're back. This is the review. Enjoyable each and every week. Entertaining. Being an old dinosaur, love how the boys don't go overboard with fancy stats. I get OPS, but what the heck is war? Keep up the good work, guys. Now, what I'm hearing there is...
We could wax eloquently and give you a very thorough analysis. It's just that we're choosing not to.
Yes.
It's like Ichiro. We could hit a home run every at-bat, but we're going to slap hit.
Yes, you know. That's exactly right. So anyway, if you want to leave us a review, we would appreciate it greatly. Take a screenshot, tweet it to us, make it funny, and we'll read it out on next week's show to show our appreciation.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So much like a raging volcano, the hot takes will take a second to percolate and flow down to you, the village of listeners. So let's start with the final 25-man roster. Once Jacoby, Verhagen, and Fulmer were placed on the IL, no real surprises. 8 bullpen arms, including Norris, and the 3 bench pieces of Hicks, Peterson, and Gordon Beckham. I say no real surprises. I wasn't surprised. Were you surprised?
No, not really. I mean, who are guys that are not on the roster who you thought had a chance? And that would be maybe Ronnie Rodriguez. That's about it, isn't it? I mean, Kyle Funkhauser, maybe. They kind of wringed their hands a little bit about letting Bobby Wilson go, which seems so weird to me. I didn't think of Bobby Wilson as that good, but they're retaining him on a minor league deal. Evidently he's going to play in AAA, but otherwise we kind of retained everybody who we thought might be particularly helpful for us.
Yeah. Even
now, some decisions will have to be made when the guys come off the IR, but
yeah, two guys in Jacoby and Verhagen will be back in the relative near future. I mean, obviously Fulmer differently. I was a little surprised that Buck Farmer made the team. Like, I know that he doesn't have issues and making a call, like there wasn't necessarily anyone to replace him. I feel like we've reached beyond the tipping point with Buck. As much
you
as
you do feel like he'd be the first man out when Verhagen comes back, don't you?
Yeah, I mean,
you
and that's fine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, maybe Stump. Depends on how they do.
They have three lefties out in the bullpen: Norris, Blaine, and Daniel Stump. I can't remember the last time that's been the case.
That's true.
Okay, thought that was going somewhere.
Well, they have eight bullpen arms, so I mean that's
yeah. How do you feel about that?
Is that unusual?
It is. Usually the breakdown is on an NL or an AL team would be 7-4. I mean that's a little bit more.
Well, this is an under the radar advantage for us not having Victor Martinez around anymore, right?
Yeah, you can actually utilize the DH spot.
Yeah, I mean, you get a rotation in that DH spot, but you also get the roster spot. That's kind of an advantage.
The one thing that I was trying to work through in my mind is, does that lock Nico in kind of as the everyday DH? With only two catchers, you kind of almost can't DH Hicks, because what if Griner needs to come out of the game? You would lose your DH.
Well, I think Nick and Miggy are going to do a lot of DHing.
Yeah, that's probably fair. And then I really think that we're going to see Nico in the lineup 3 out of 4 days, if not more. I mean,
Nico is going to play a ton.
Six, seven days.
He should be. It's bad when your utility, quote unquote utility guy, is probably your third best hitter.
And with all due respect to Nico, like when we were on him in the spring last year, he was a utility guy. Like he is a much better baseball player now than he was at that point. And that's nothing but credit to him that he's improved that much.
My outlook on the guy from the beginning of this year to beginning of the previous year has so changed. I thought he was going to be just trash, but he was surprisingly so good last year for what he was called to do.
So let's talk about center field. Mikey and Nico are currently the only two center field options on the team. Are you comfortable with that? Not that we have a choice, but
can Dustin Peterson cannot play center field?
I mean,
none.
I guess anyone could play anywhere, but I don't know that he should play center field. I think he played there a couple times in the spring. Maybe in road parks he would be okay there. Maybe up in Toronto.
Well, here's the pain of the situation. Let's imagine, let's visualize together, shall we, our outfield at Comerica Park. In right field, we have the stunning Nicholas Castellanos. Tell me something about his defense, Hall.
It is.
Maybe in one or two words.
Not great.
Okay. In left field, we have one Kristen Stewart. Tell me a little bit about his defensive.
I would actually rather defer to Lynn Henning about his defense.
And what would he say?
He would say it's not great.
And
it is many, many other words.
Yeah. So you have your book ended by some poo, and right in the middle you put Jacoby Jones, who's got wheels. He's going to be able to go get it. He's going to be, get some of these balls that the other guys can't. Well, he's out. And now are you going to, you're going to put Nico out there? That's tough to me. At least with Mikey, Mikey's got some wheels.
At least he's an
outfielder. He's experienced in the outfield. I think Mikey's going to get a lot of work out there,
which is just what everyone was,
especially at
for.
Comerica.
Yeah. The only other thing I have as far as talking points, Turnbull has been cemented in the rotation. How do you feel about that?
I think he's earned it. He's had a great spring, and why not? You need an arm. He's kind of this, B tier prospect, but he's performed well. He's kind of old enough. You just do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's more of a solid option than the Norris at this point.
Oh, for Norris, sure. For sure.
You know,
we'll get into this later. There are some underlying statistics that actually really, really suggest that Turnbull could be a very nice piece for us.
Yeah. He's a chic pick, if you will.
anything you really couldn't stand from the 25 as is.
No, I mean, not particularly. I don't, it's who we have. I mean, yeah. What are you going to do? We have the best team that we can field with the guys that we have.
Okay. So do you have the flamethrower ready? Like, are you ready to scorch some ears and incinerate some mobile devices?
Yes. You broke up at me. What are you doing? The predictions, the hot takes.
Yeah. So
the
bold predictions. Here's how we'll break it down. First, we've each created some over unders for certain players.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Eric has the hitters. I have the pitchers. We'll reveal the number, and then where we're setting the over under, and then we'll place our guesses. Last year, I wrote it down. Realistically, I don't think I'm going to do that. So we'll just do it for fun, and then you guys can score keep for us at home. Then we'll move on to our bold predictions for the year. Those are a bit more generic, hopefully a little more loosey-goosey. And then we'll read out and discuss some of you guys, the listeners, scalding predictions. Eric, can you follow that?
I will try my best.
Okay, how many over-unders do you have?
I have like 6-ish.
Okay, I have 9. Why don't I start?
Good call.
Okay, the first one, 30 starts for Jordan Zimmermann.
Under.
Okay.
Just because he's old.
He had 25 last year and hasn't hit 30 since 2015.
Yeah, he's not. He's not going to. What do you want?
I got a feeling he's going to stay healthy this year. I don't, like you say, I don't know how many of those are going to be quality starts. I feel like we had this discussion last week.
Well, I mean, there is this narrative, you know, his self-realized old man Zimmermann, and he's comfortable in that, and maybe he'll settle into that role.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm still taking the under.
I think I'm going to take the over. You know what he kind of started to remind me of? Have you seen Grumpy Old Men and then Grumpier Old Men?
With Walter Matthau and like these Jack Lemmon.
Super old dudes that are just like complete dicks to each other. But it happens in Minnesota, and they're just like such gruff old guys.
Oh, yeah, they go ice fishing and
stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what Jordan Zimmermann is, a 31-year-old version of those two guys. And also, can we just congratulate me for having seen a movie? How often am I the one that makes
did
a movie?
Did you sit through the whole thing? Huh. Did you see that the Infinity or Endgame for the Avengers is 3 hours and 2 minutes?
Dude, you know how many sitcoms you could watch in that time? Holy crap. Not a chance. I mean, not that I would watch a superhero movie anyway, but not a 3 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you make it through bathroom-wise for a 3-hour movie?
I have a strong and healthy bladder.
Do you not? I couldn't make it, especially after I smuggle coffee into the movie theater.
You're a millennial. You're weak. you need to be an old Wisconsin like Jordan Zimmermann. He probably doesn't have to pee for days at a time.
He's like a camel. No, that's a different. That's the intake. You don't have to intake for a week. All right, move on. What's your number?
Over under 2 times on the injured list for Miguel Cabrera.
I'm taking the under. I must be in a good mood. I think Miggy stays healthy-ish this year. I could see it once, but I don't think he's going to have a second stint.
I'm taking the over.
Oh.
He's,
come on, have a heart.
I just get nervous anytime he does anything that approaches something athletic. You know, imagine in spring training, you know, they show this footage of they're putting all these pads and tarps down, and oh, guys are going to slide into these, and Jacoby's sliding into. Do you want Miguel doing that?
Absolutely not.
Well,
not even close.
You have the game of baseball, like sliding is still a thing. Like, you have to run around the bases and do athletic things, and his body just. Yeah, you get a little clenched when he does stuff like that. I'm taking the over. It's tough.
I can definitely see where you're coming from, and I genuinely hope you're wrong, because it's going to be a lot better summer if you are.
Because, you know, he's got the back thing, the biceps thing. You just kind of you hold your breath.
You do. Yeah. You do. All right, I'll go. 0.5 times that Matt Moore will be banished to the bullpen.
I'm taking the over. I'm not. I don't know a ton about Matt Moore, to be honest with you, but I'm less sold on him even than Ross.
Did you watch the game today?
No, I did not.
It was not his best showing. That may or may not have directly led into this prediction.
No, I didn't see. I didn't follow. I didn't catch it at all.
He didn't get ripped Reed Garrett style, but he got ripped pretty hard. I too will take the over. I would be surprised if he finished the year in the rotation. I'd love for him to. I mean, he was a very highly regarded prospect. You know how I am with prospects. I was super into him back in the day. Just
does he finish the year on the team?
I think so.
Okay. Under over 12 times we say DL instead of IL on the podcast.
Oh, for sure over. I'm so done with it already. Like, I mean, it's always,
you have to adjust.
It's always been the DL. Like, it's very frustrating. I've seen Evan has had some issues with it, and if he can't get it straight, how are people like us going to get it right?
Do you get why they changed it?
I can make some assumptions.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me why they changed it.
I mean, I don't have an issue with it is going to be difficult for schlubs like us to get it.
It's true.
Okay, number three for me, 0.5 times that Spencer Turnbull is sent back down.
Yeah, there's always something goofy that happens in the year. There's way more uncertainty and up and down and flexibility with how this stuff goes. And so I'm going to take the over on that.
I am too. I thought I was going to be able to. I do think he more or less sticks for the entire year in the rotation. But like you say, there is usually, roster maneuvering that needs to be done that I can see him going down.
There's way more roster volatility than you imagine at the beginning of the year. You go through dozens of players, extra players.
Many of which are going to take the form of Ronnie Rodriguez and Dal Lugo. So that'll be fun.
Hopefully not Lugo for a while. Moving right along. Kristen Stewart.
All right.
Speaking of up with the club, I think the whole year. His Zips projection is for 23 home runs this year. I think that's awfully optimistic. I'll peel it down to 20. Do you want under or over 20 home runs for Kristen Stewart?
I like the over. And honestly, I like the over at, what'd you say, 23?
23?
I like the over there. I'm curious what the what the projection is for batting average, because that's what I think is going to be the under. I think that he's going to hit for power. I just am not sure how much he's going to hit.
How many players hit over 23 home runs for us last year?
Ooh, one?
Zero. Zero. Nick hit exactly 23 last year.
Ah, you trickster.
That's a lot to ask for a rookie.
It isn't, though. Like, how many players in baseball hit 23 homers last year? Like, a lot. Kike Hernandez hit 20.
Maybe that's just a lot for us.
Yeah, like, 23 is not a lot of home runs. We don't have anybody that can do it.
I'll take the under, but I'm hoping for the over, obviously.
Where was I at? Number four. One time that we think Daniel Norris has figured it out, in quotes.
I don't want to dog on Daniel Norris any more than I already have. I think what you were going to say, he's figured it out at least twice. So I'll take the over.
Yeah, I was actually thinking right at one. I mean, there is no chance that we go through the whole year and don't see a performance that makes us think, oh, here he is. Here's this Daniel Norris.
I mean, looking back at the last couple of years, how many times have we said that? Like, oh, yeah, this is
a ton. Yeah.
Oh, it's a wild ride with him.
It really is. I want it so bad for him. He seems like a great kid. I'm beginning to run out of patience as far as him actually doing it.
Right. Over or under 2.5 above average hitters on the Tigers. Defined by OPS plus. So let me give you some context here.
Please.
Zips has projected for us 2. Nick, they think, is going to do a 120 OPS plus. That means 20% above average. Miggy at a 118 and no one else above 100. Stewart, 98. Candelario, 93. Nico, 85. Those are the kind of some of the other reference points. Last year we had Nick was the highest at 130. So I'm reading the previews here and they're saying the tires, there's just a hole of where hitters should be. They don't have any good hitters. So do you think we'll have more than two above average league average hitters?
Honestly, I think we will. I think, like I said, I'm buying the Kool-Aid on Mickey being healthy. Nick clearly has the ability to do it. And I think there's kind of several players that could hop up into that range. Josh Harrison, we've kind of poo-pooed him, but he has a track record of being halfway decent. Right. I think Grayson Griner over a course of a full year could be in that range. I mean, I'm not saying it's likely, but I think that he could be in there. And honestly, I think Nico, if he's playing most days, I think there's more chance for upside there than they're giving him credit for.
And I think, I mean, Stewart could be, he could deliver some power that can bump up that slugging. Candelario, I think, is a really good baseball player, but I think he was just so, we worked him so hard.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Know,
no
and
doubt
he
about
just
that.
Fatigued. So I think, you know, I'm going to take the over on that too. But I think when we get to the bottom half of our kind of lineup, it's going to be rougher.
It sure will. Next one. Let's see. In or out, Shane Green in the top 10 for saves in baseball this year?
Out, below the top 10. In order to get saves, you have to win.
That is true. I'm gonna take inside. I think there's so much volatility within the closer spot in baseball. I could see him being one of only, 15 closers that keep the job through the entire year. I genuinely think he's going to do better than he did last year. He's been really good in the spring. Not that I put a ton of stock in the spring, but I will say it until he finally moves on. The stuff is there for him to be an incredible bullpen piece. And I think this is the year. Why not? This is the time for us to be optimistic. It's this year.
That's pretty sunshiny of you. Yeah. That's a little sunshiny.
It's kind of where this pod tends to go.
Yeah, it's true. True story. Let's see. Where am I? Oh. Over under 1.5 all-stars for the Detroit Tigers.
That's a tough one. I'm going to take under. I feel like we're a one player team right now.
I think you're right. Right. I mean, who could it be? I mean,
well, last year was Joe. So, I mean,
yeah,
I think there's a pretty strong chance that it's him again.
It could be Joe. It could be a guy like, if you used your imagination, Alcantara.
Yeah.
Alcantara.
I feel like that's the same situation as Joe last year, you know.
Right. So if you squint, maybe Boyd, if you squint.
You'd have to be squinting real, real hard. Like Costanza pointing out the raccoons to see that
one. Okay, not Boyd, maybe. Cabrera?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if he comes back and does Cabrera things, like, yeah, he's going to be an all-star. Nick, no. How many outfielders does he have to beat out to get the spot? I mean,
there's a lot of outfielders. That's true. So you'd have to have one of Jimenez, Alcantara, plus Cabrera. That's too much squinting. I guess I'm taking the under.
Yeah,
we'll be happy with our one and move along.
Speaking of Victor, higher or lower, second on the team in appearances by Victor Alcantara?
Higher or lower, second in the team in appearances. I think he's going to get worked a lot. So I'm going to take. So who's going to work more than him? I'm taking the over. I think he's going to be top one or two in workloads for us for innings, for appearances.
Yeah, it's going to be him or Joe as one or two. I think that's pretty definite. Do you have any left?
this is, I'm violating the format, but I think this is an interesting question. More appearances as a designated hitter, Miguel Cabrera or Nicholas Castellanos?
Oh, that's a good one. Honestly, I think it's going to be Nick. I think Nick's more willing to accept that role.
And I think they should, if their analytics are doing anything for them, they should be more eager to get Nick off the field.
Yeah, Miggy's a better, health-wise, it makes more sense with Miggy. But as far as actual being good in the field, like you say, you got to get Nick out of there. He's a significantly worse defender than Miggy is.
I could also see him being a little more ornery about it.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I mean, I can see Nick having more orneriness in him, but I think Miggy just, he likes to play the field. I mean, he doesn't give off the impression that he wants to DH, whereas I could see Nick being able to be talked into it. The key with that is to convince Nick that it's his idea that he should DH.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you see the DH shaking out? I mean, do you see a third Miguel, a third Nick, and a third blend? No, I see Cabrera playing first a lot more than two-thirds of the time,
yeah,
probably.
I see about two-thirds split between Nico and Hicks, and then one-third split
between Hicks
Nick
is going
to
get in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, I have three more. We'll bust through these. 0.5 Tigers pitchers traded by the trade deadline.
They'll trade somebody, even if it's for a bag of balls, I would say. I bet they move somebody.
I would hope so, too. I don't know. We'll see. 0.5 amount of Reed Garretts we end the season with.
I think, we carried freaking Victor Reyes all year. If Garrett's any good, we carry him. I think he'd probably... Yeah, I think he ends up doing it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Victor Reyes precedent kind of overrides all rational thinking. He will be around the entire year because we kept Victor Reyes around. Last one, 4.5 starts for Blaine. I kind of couldn't come up with a different number, and we obviously had to have some sort of number for Blaine.
You know, who else is going to jump up and grab some starts when somebody gets hurt? Because somebody will get hurt.
Yep.
I
mean, your options are going to be Norris, Carpenter, or one of the kids.
And I can't stand Carpenter. Funkhauser is maybe next, but otherwise it could be, but then you got to stretch him out and stuff like
Blaine
that.
Blaine stays stretched out. Blaine's always ready to start. I'm not sure that I buy
into
that.
Yeah, because you get that, you know, crazy bullpen start and Blaine would, you know, start a game like that. I don't know how much he's going to be starting. I'll take the under because I know you're going to take the over.
I'll take the over. No logic there. I just want to see it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Are you ready to move on to bold predictions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm assuming that I have more, so why don't I go ahead and start again?
Sure.
The first one centers around our boy Spencer Turnbull. I believe that he's going to lead the club in wins, FIP, and strikeouts and potentially be our all-star rep.
Yeah, that's asking a lot. That's a Fulmer-esque year, rookie year.
Yeah, but I mean, even if he's a notch below a Fulmer-esque rookie year, who on the team, I mean, take out the all-star bit, who on the team is for sure going to record more wins and strikeouts than him?
Boyd.
You think that's a guarantee?
I think Boyd would have more wins easy.
Maybe. I think Turnbull has far more better strikeout stuff than Boyd. I think if they throw a similar amount of innings, you know, and obviously Boyd has, you know, the experience carrying the load that Turnbull doesn't have. But if they throw a similar amount of innings, I can for sure see him striking out Boyd.
This qualifies as a bold prediction. Bold stamp of a bold prediction approval right there.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Mine is going to be extremely hard to verify because I think nobody's going to.
These are the best kinds of predictions.
Nobody's going to like come out and admit it. But my prediction is one of the color commentators falls asleep in the broadcast booth. they straight up fall asleep.
I for sure believe that. And, you know, there will be plenty of people put to sleep on their couches.
There'll be a lot of fans. That's, you know, that warm Sunday afternoon is coming.
Yeah.
There's going to be drool on the lazy boy.
Oh, they're going to be perfect for Sunday afternoon. They really, I mean,
I mean, just a, it's only a slight step above golf for, you know, sleepability.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Next one. Only the aforementioned Spencer Turnbull will reach double-digit victories.
Okay. Yeah.
And that would be super sad, especially if Zimmerman is turning in the 30 starts. And I said before that he will be turning in.
Okay, so last year's win total, Boyd had 9. Zimmerman had 7. Fires had 7. Liriano had 5. Jimenez had 5. No one else had 5 or more.
What about you, Fulmer? You didn't list him.
Fulmer had 3 wins.
Okay, so apparently
he
that
lost 12 games.
Apparently that wasn't as hot of a prediction as I thought it was going to be.
Fulmer started 24 games last year.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He didn't make the full slate of starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang.
Jacoby Jones brings a live chicken into the team shower.
It's very specific. Now, how pissed would you be if it was like a live goose that he brought into the shower, not a chicken?
Oh, I was way off. I had the wrong poultry altogether. Oh. Jacoby Jones is my new muse. The guy is fun.
He's
a frat bro tied in with like Gronk and a smirk. He's pretty fun.
Mixed with Josh Donaldson. Like he for sure drives dirt bikes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there with Jacoby.
A lot going on. Next one, Nico leads the team in RBIs. Why not?
I mean, how would Castellanos not have more?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure Nico's not a better player.
Well, you might not be wrong. All right, Nico, I'm digging that. Okay. The Tigers introduce a female Tigers mascot named Paula.
That's good. We're going to need something to get through the year.
I mean, you know, there's like Mrs. Met and Mrs. Redlegs. And, you know, there's, you know, the white caps have female mascots.
Oh, yeah.
This is plausible.
Plausible? Ooh, boom-tish.
Okay. It could also be named Claudia.
Oh, that. Dang, you were the master. Not to puff up your ego any bigger than it is.
Those are the two choices. You know. Menopause is probably not
too
good.
Too far.
So Paula, I feel like, is the best bet.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Next one. 2 of the 3 free agent signings are broadly viewed as a success.
2 out of 3.
You got Ross Harrison and Matt Moore.
What about Mercer?
2 out of 4 free agent signings are broadly viewed as a success. Completely forgot about him for obvious reasons.
He doesn't spark a lot of excitement.
And the worst part is
the interesting thing about him was his old glove. That's all I know.
And we're the people that love the kind of marginal guys like that. And even we can't get it up for Jordy Mercer.
Maybe when the season comes, well, and we see, you know, get that full Jordy Mercer experience, you know, our hearts will be up strong.
Yeah, I'm counting on that. I would for sure bank on that happening.
Oh boy! All right, the next bold prediction requires the use of air quotes. So so Johnny Cane, here comes the air quotes. Interviews an inanimate object. You know, it could be a mistake, or it could be part of, you know, like, oh, we're doing something playful, but it's just awkward. So like he interviews a statue or something,
like the shawarma nachos.
So they send him on some BS. It's been weird because Johnny Cain's been doing like play-by-play for high school sports, and I've been kind of watching some of this, and he's doing a serviceable job.
He's a very talented guy. He's the Fox Sports equivalent of us. Yeah,
he's a talented guy. Let's go easy with the varies.
Johnny, you're very, very talented to me. Don't let Eric poo-poo you. Next one. Tigers are within shouting distance of the division lead at the All-Star break and finish within a shouting distance of the division champ.
I hope you shout loud. I hope you are a loud shouter.
It's a relative term.
That's like saying, this restaurant's within an 8-iron distance. Yeah. It's never that close.
Just depends on how far you hit your 8-iron.
People hit 8-irons a lot further than I do. I can tell you that.
Ugh. In all seriousness, I don't think we're going to be as bad this year as people are bracing for. I don't think we're going to be good. I don't think we're going to, make anyone cringe as we come into town. But I
give
don't
me
think
a couple
of
reasons
be.
For your hope.
I think what there are some pieces that if things go right for them can, Turnbull. I think that there's reason to believe that he is going to turn in a very good season. Matt Boyd, there's reasons to believe that he can be a league average starting pitcher. Miggy, he could bounce back. Josh Harrison, there's some talent there, kind of. Candelario and Kristen Stewart, they take the next step. Like, obviously, a lot of these are, rose-tinted spectacles 2 days before opening day. But I think that if you're going into the year hoping that we win 60 games, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. And that's not wow. – I didn't even mention the Gardenhire effect. He doesn't let guys quit.
Stop it. I'm going to be the other side of this coin this year. I mean,
you're going full rain cloud this year. Is that how this is going to be?
Yeah, a little bit of rain cloud. Let me tell you, Evan Woodbury had a terrific story about some of the projections. Baseball Prospectus had us at 66 and 96. Fangraphs had us at 66 and 96. The loss of Fulmer shaved 2 wins. They had it at 68 wins, and then Fulmer went down, which makes sense because Zips had him as our number one player as considered by WAR. They had Fulmer as a 2.6 WAR player, which, yeah, you peel him off, that's a couple wins. So last year we won 64 games. So we're projected to be 2 wins better than last year. This is nowhere near 81 wins, which it would take for us to be 500. Now, Evan broke down. These projections are usually not that far off. I mean, occasionally the Royals, the projections always hated the Royals, and that was a kind of a joke for a while. But these usually are relatively accurate. I think we are far, far more likely a 100 loss team than a 500 team.
Yeah,
and the reason
I'd agree
is
with that.
Because we are at the top lens of players, the top layer of tier of players that we have are thin. And it just takes one or two guys to get hurt, and they will get hurt. And then we're reaching into the barrel for some – we're not pulling up our top prospects. I mean, Daz Cameron is not coming up right away. You know, how much Dustin Peterson are you going to play? I mean – okay, you think Turnbull's good? Sure, okay. But Moore or, Boyd is out for an extended period of time. You're reaching for a guy like Funkhauser or something like that. And not that he doesn't have promise, but they're young yet. And it can become a poo show, as they say. It could in a big hurry. Keep a little friendly here for the kills. Oh, but so if you gave me two choices, Eric, is this going to be a 100 loss team or is this going to be a 500 team? I'm taking 100 losses for sure.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
I don't think we're in shouting distance of the league. I know it's a bold prediction. You want to be – it's fun. But this team I don't think is going to be particularly good.
You think we win 69 games?
Do we win 69 games? I do not think we win 69 games.
I think we
win. That would be nice, though.
I think we win 69 right on the nose.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? Jacoby would love that.
He would love that. That'd be a fitting way to honor Gronk's retirement. Do you have any other bold predictions?
No, not particularly.
All right, I have one more. There will be another animal on the field.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah. I mean, I feel like you got a 30% chance of that.
I hope so. That would be That'd make the whole summer worth it.
I feel like I was so close to predicting a Rod and Mario fight on the show. And I think I said something about them swearing on air or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You predicted that for several years in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And we came close, but I should have predicted like 45 seconds of solid, silence, of anger. I was close.
You'd hit it right on the nose.
Oh, man. All right. That's what I got.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So, Eric, you asked the listeners for their bold predictions for this year, and they did not disappoint. I'll just read out some, and you can give your rapid-fired feedback, and we'll try and get through as many of these as we can. Are you comfortable with that?
Let's do it.
All right. First one comes in from at Viva Tigres, Jennifer Cozy. I predict that the Tigers will sign Austin Jackson, and your last name is the same as Batman's, so that's cool.
Yeah. So Jen has a thing for Austin Jackson.
Don't we all?
It's a little obsessive. that's a fine prediction. And yes, there's a lot of Batman, really.
Inhabiting
me.
I didn't realize why everyone was complimenting you/us until I read your tweet.
I put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Man, people are just really nice.
Hey, that's the toll. That's the toll for participating.
At Eric Lloyd, he has two. Cabrera hits his 500th career home run this season and makes September watchable as he chases it. And if he plays in 145 games, he will be top three in MVP voting.
That's to me insanity. Top three.
How do you really feel about it?
Eric has a snappy first name, which I appreciate, but top three in MVP and I'm going to stop. No, it's not happening.
I could see it.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't think it'll probably happen either.
What else we got?
Hence me thinking that Nico leads the team in RBIs. At Tech Jansen says, Tigers will be within three games of the division leader at the All-Star break, and I would like to have a beer with you.
No, and sure.
I don't know that you want to be promising this to internet randos. Sorry, Tech.
I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with my shouting distance. That would be maybe a little bit less of a shout than I was imagining. I was imagining a much further distance shout. But I do like that you have the Twins as a divisional leader. I don't know that that's going to happen, but
I'm pretty, the AL pretty, Central is going to suck.
Yeah. I'm pretty over the Indians at this point. So
yeah.
Next one, at @Cam_Gerard, salted caramel Bitbits. Now that's a good prediction. I'd like to see that.
Are Bitbits still a thing? I haven't gotten much, Bitbit advertising wash over me. Maybe when I get to the park here, I'll see that Triple Crown logo.
I hope so.
Bitbits.
I mean, did you ever have any? They're decent. I mean, they taste like
they're fine.
Nestle Crunch. It's not exactly like a culinary revolution, but they're fine at the ballpark.
It's fine candy. Yeah.
Anthony Troya says Spencer Turnbull wins 8 games and is in the running for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he must be your spirit animal because you are feeling the Turnbull.
I think Turnbull wins 15. I'm just kidding. That would be
why not? Why not? We're going bizarro land.
Speaking of Troyas, Jeremy Troy asks or says, Jordan's smoking lady is returning to her spot slash perch in her driveway.
Her resting spot. That would be
her resting spot.
That would be a big development.
Don't even throw that out there. That would be. I very much would like for that not to happen again.
Gotta, you know, put some bait out there so she comes back.
What kind of bait do you put out for someone to smoke in your driveway? It's not a bear. You don't throw out like apples or whatever.
It's her resting spot. Maybe a nice cushion.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. At Tigers fan Mags, Daniel Norris takes over a spot in the rotation after an injury and reaches his true potential.
Okay, that's not that crazy. Could certainly happen.
I would like for this one to happen. I think of all the ones that I've seen so far, this is the one that, like, him turning into a league average or better starting pitcher would be massive for the team. Like, that would be
We are Norris fans. We want him to succeed. I do, at least.
I do,
too. It's been a little rocky.
Brett Yoder says, you guys have made me a happier, more rational Tigers fan. That's nice. We appreciate it. Bold prediction, Tigers will finish with a top five rotation in the AL, mostly due to Boyd, Zimmerman, and Turnbull.
I think the Tigers will finish with a top five rotation in the AL Central.
Ooh, that's a shot. There's, what, 15 teams in the AL? I could see them being in a top 12 rotation.
Wow. Generous.
At Leland's Lung says, the Tigers go 78-86 and win the Central Division. Turnbull wins Rookie of the Year. Moore and Ross flame out. And that you throw the first pitch at a Whitecaps game to Lance Parrish and bruise his hand.
Yeah, I do throw that straight fire for sure. Wait a minute. So he's predicting that 78-86 wins the Central Division.
And that we win 78 games with Moore and Ross flaming out.
I mean, that I'm not good at math, but how many games below 500 is that?
Like six, four, eight.
That seems bad. That seems unlikely to me.
Like we said, the division is terrible. All right, let's just, at Steve Butts, not one butt, two butts, I guess plural butts, any amount of butts, more than one butt. Daz Cameron will play for the big league club before September this season.
I don't know. How's that for an answer?
It's good.
It wouldn't totally surprise me.
I kind of agree with that. I don't think that it's likely. But I definitely wouldn't rule it out, especially considering the two guys in front of him are Jacoby Jones and Mikey Matuk.
They might get to a point where they need a body. Like, we need somebody to play center field for us.
Yeah. A lot of optimism. I'm surprised. Rob Hyde says, we have the best bullpen in the AL Central and finished second overall in the standings.
This won't last long. All this happiness.
You're familiar with how Twitter works. It will not. Also, your podcast is my true marker of spring returning. Just hearing the first few intro notes puts the long, dark days of winter behind me. That's very nice, even though you did elicit all of this praise for us.
Hey, you know, we got to prime the pump a little bit, you know?
Let's see. Nicholas Haller, Tigers win 65-70 games. That tracks. Zimmerman pitches well enough to be traded. Less so. Castellanos is still on the team after the deadline against a club-friendly extension. Miggy wins AL Comeback Player of the Year. Is that actually an award? Do they give that out in baseball? Comeback Player of the Year?
Yeah. I think so. Okay. Also, is it called the potty?
I mean, P.O.
Player of the year.
I mean, that's...
Comeback potty?
Feels like an odd point to get hung up on, but yeah, I mean, sure, they can call it that. I wasn't sure if it was real, so you can abbreviate it however you'd like.
I think he's going to win the comeback potty.
I very much believe that you think he's going to win the comeback potty. All right, let's move on here. this is a good one. Kyle Walney, Tigers rotation is so bad that they end up leading the league in bullpen innings pitch. Joe throws over 80 innings.
Sure, why not? It's realistic.
You know who would love that?
Who would love that?
Joe.
Yes, Joe would love to see his photo as many places as possible, I think.
David Fleece says, Tigers make us super excited with a gimmicky win streak and then fizzle out. Someone near and dear will be traded. And you and him throw a round of disc golf together before the season finishes.
Yeah. I mean, if creepers want to hang out, I mean, disc golf and beer are the best ways to attract my attention.
How do you feel about the Zubas / Rally Goose gimmicky win streak?
I love that stuff. It's a game. It's supposed to be fun. It's an entertainment product. Now, I don't need WWE, but I like the fun stuff. Why not?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, like the mantises and, you know, the funny haircuts and Aubrey Huff wearing a thong. Like, this is good stuff. There's no crying in baseball, but there are thongs.
All right, two more. At Lawn Steak Ball, J.D. Martinez has a better year than Dowell Lugo.
Well, of course. What?
He's making a joke that Lugo was traded, you know, for J.D.
Yeah.
It's not that outrageous. I caught your joke, even if Eric's a bummer. And last one, the Russ White. Bonderman on a stell cell and cocaine bender finally learns changeup at age 36 and wins Cy Young.
Wait a minute. Jeremy Bonderman is only 36? Is that an actual number?
I don't know. I mean, it's what he's quoting us.
Bonderman's got to be older than that.
Once again, you have a magic device in your hand with all kinds of knowledge.
Read the next question. I'm looking it up.
Okay. Quickly, he goes back and
he's
pulls
36.
Open.
He's 36.
Wow. Good knowledge, Russ. All right. Let's move on to your power rankings before this descends any further.
Yeah. I'll try to keep it a little bit brief.
That feels good. Feels like we've ran long tonight. I don't have any basis for that, but it feels like we have.
And we're going to keep it a little lighter. This came up like a few weeks ago, and I was surprised I haven't done it before. And that is breakfast cereal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Everybody likes breakfast and breakfast cereal. We're going to try it, shall we?
We shall.
Top seven. This is a real power rankings first for me at number seven. And then I'm going to bend to the pressure of the populace. Normally, I would not, you know, be bend in the breezes of popular opinion. But I feel like at number seven, I have to say Golden Grahams.
Ugh.
Because otherwise everybody's going to dog on me because Golden Grahams is a very popular choice. Golden Grahams has a very nice texture. It's just okay for me, though.
I completely agree. Definitely. Okay. The texture is fine. The rest of it is, yeah.
It's just okay. Number six is Oreo O's. If I'm going chocolate experience with my cereal, I want Oreo O's. The little flecks of, kind of frosting on the outside. It's a good shape, I feel like, for a cereal. The O is a nice, and it's a good size. Oreo O's is a pretty good cereal.
I don't know that I knew that existed. That's interesting.
Oh, they're tasty. Number five is our first, I'll say adult cereal. It's for grown-ups. It's the 18 and over crowd, and that is Raisin Nut Bran.
Ugh, what is wrong with you?
Raisin Nut Bran is delicious, and is proof of me that, like, not everybody wants to get rich. Because if somebody wanted to be rich, all they would have to do is sell the little raisin nut clusters that are in the Raisin Nut Bran, and you would make all the money that you'd ever want in the world, because they are so good. The little nut covered raisins, but evidently not everybody wants to be rich.
Sure. Yeah. That's a statement, I believe. Yeah, definitely.
Number four is Cinnamon Life. I love the architecture of the Life cereal. The structure is so good for me. And cinnamon is the premier flavor of the Life cereal.
Yeah, definitely. Can't disagree with that.
Number three is Fruity Pebbles.
You would.
There's some times in life where you just need that real rush of artificial color and flavor. You know, you don't want something natural and brown. You want like electricity coming out of your bowl for breakfast. Yeah, that's Fruity Pebbles.
That's disgusting. That's such a terrible take.
I've gotten a little, my palate has matured. as I've gotten into the more adult series. But as a kid and even as a teen, I wanted nothing else than to crush a bowl of Fruity Pebbles. They're still good. This is number two is also a very refined choice for a season palate, but this is a strong choice, and that is Honey Bunches of Oats. It is so good. The flakes are light and delicate, and it's got a really nice kind of these bunches of oats are kind of a semi granola, but they're appropriately blended with the other cereal. And I like Honey Bunches of Oats a lot. This, you can get cinnamon. There's different varieties, but they're all pretty good.
Yeah. We have very different tastes, I think, in cereal. I have a list of like five that I'm going to guess here for your number one.
There's way too many that I like that I could not get on my list. I have a lot of honorable mentions.
Okay.
But there's no question that there is a number one.
The number one is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Everybody should.
I'm impressed. We're on the same wavelength there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody should, bow at the feet of Cinnamon Toast Crunch superiority. Everything is perfect about this cereal.
Yep.
The texture, the nice flat texture. The flavor is cinnamony and not overdone. And it leaves you with a beautiful cinnamon milk residue.
Ugh.
That I love to. A real man will drink his milk.
No, after. I for sure don't drink the milk. It's
absolutely
it's
you
tainted.
Have to drink the milk. It's so no.
Also, drinking milk in general is odd and weird.
The essence of the cereal has infused the milk, and it just makes it all that more delicious. It's so good. But Cinnamon Toast Crunch is for sure number one.
For sure.
Okay, losers. At 13th worst, I have Honey Smacks. The shape is weird. It's too thick. The texture is just wrong. The flavor. I don't like Honey Smacks.
I don't know if I've ever tried Honey Smacks.
Even that stupid frog with his scoop just drives me. I don't want your frog cereal, Honey Smacks.
Yeah, Honey Smacks.
This is going to be counterintuitive because I loved Raisin Nut Bran so much, but I hate regular Raisin Bran.
Yeah, it's designed to make you poop, right? I mean, that's kind of the only purpose it serves.
Well, I do like bran flakes like Wheaties and stuff. I mean, it's fine. But the Raisin Bran, just with I don't want the raw raisins in there. They get hard and crusty. No, I don't want Raisin Bran.
Anything else get hard and crusty?
Number one worst cereal. Do you got a guess?
I really don't. What cereal is bad?
Captain Crunch.
Okay,
Captain Crunch
fair.
Is the worst. The thing is with Captain Crunch is it's too abrasive. It's like chewing on some slag or something like that. Like driveway gravel. It tears up your hard palate. It's not a pleasant experience in your mouth.
Yeah, and there's some stuff that you eat that tears up the roof of your mouth, and you're like, it was worth it. Captain Crunch would never be worth it.
Yeah, it's cellulose. I just don't like it. And the Captain Crunch is whack. It's wiggity whack. I'm Eric. I love cereal, and that was Power Rankings.
All right, so I want to hear your honorable mention. I have a few that I'm shocked didn't get any run.
Honorable mentions would include Lucky Charms.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Honey Nut Cheerios, which are
that's a good choice.
The best of the Cheerios.
I didn't have either of those down, but I'll definitely have a claim at the top seven.
Frosted Mini Wheats are pretty good. I'm old enough to remember when they had the logs of Mini Wheats. They were huge and you had to break them up. That's why they were called Mini Wheats, because they used to be huge. And they used to be unfrosted.
Who would want them unfrosted? That's disgusting.
Shredded wheat has a shady and poor history. But frosted mini wheats are pretty good. And I like how they absorb the milk. You get just big milk-laden wheats.
Yeah, that's fair.
Reese's Puffs.
Yes, that for sure would have been my number two. There's no going around Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but I think Reese's would have been my number two.
Reese's Puffs probably should have made the top. Probably over Golden Grahams.
Definitely over Golden Grahams. Screw Golden Grahams. I don't want any blowback on Twitter. Golden Grahams are trash.
So I like Special K with the dried strawberries.
Oh, for your lady gut.
you know, I have a delicate disposition.
No, okay. I actually don't mind that either. They used to have that, you know, the like at Continental Breakfast that they have like the things that you turn the wheel and it comes out.
Yeah, of course.
They used to have that at actually both in the wheels like that at both of the colleges that I ended up going to. I've eaten a decent amount of that.
Yeah. Here's some dishonorable mentions. Some other trash cereals would include Fruit Loops. Again, too abrasive.
Yeah.
And yeah, not good. Corn Pops are crud.
Corn Pops.
Corn Pops. They're like, they look like little nuggets of abrasiveness. They're bad corn. Honeycomb is not good. They're too big. The structure is okay, but they're not that good.
All right.
Honeycombs are. Grape Nuts. They're like little bran pellets.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
You are very like experienced with cereal. I have to say, like, you've sampled many cereals.
Well, my mother, when I was growing up, I shouldn't trash her since she appears, her voice appears on them.
And every show.
She was not really much of a culinary achiever. She didn't have a lot of different. So I may end up, you know, having a lot of cereal as a child. I still like cereal.
The only one that I have left on my list that you haven't addressed one way or the other, Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, that's strong choice. I do. Oh, I have it. Oh, here's it. I have it written down here. Yeah, that's good.
That's part of why I love going to hotels so much is because that's when you get the chance to eat Frosted Flakes. Like, don't give me the waffle maker. Forget about that. I want the Frosted Flakes. And if they don't have that, I will literally scream in the hotel lobby.
And the thing is, you're not eating it at home because it requires you to buy like a metric ton, like a big box of Frosted Flakes. And you're kind of like, there's so many better cereals. But when you're on the road, you know.
Well, no, I don't buy it at home because I know for a fact that I should not be eating cereal. And if there is cereal there, I will eat cereal.
I love cereal.
Yeah, me too.
Any other, how do you feel about Cookie Crisp? I'm kind of not feeling Cookie Crisp.
I don't know if I've had Cookie Crisp. It sounds good. It sounds like a great idea.
Other trash ones are kind of Trix. I don't like Trix. And Apple Jacks are not.
I liked Apple Jacks.
Yeah, they're okay for me. They're just okay for me, dog.
All right, we should probably call it quits on this episode. We've been rambling for a long time. I think we lost the way somewhere about the midway point. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at JordinoFloor, and I believe you are at Comeric Eric. Do you ever post pictures?
Yeah, occasionally.
I feel like every fifth episode I'll ask you. Oh, wait, you're on Instagram too, aren't you?
Yeah.
And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever you've listened to the show. We rambled for a long time, so we can get out of here. Eric, do you have anything else to say to the people before the season opens, opening day on Thursday?
Yeah, my final thought is this is a leisure pursuit. Most of you who are listening are not doing this for work or as a responsibility.
Baseball and if you are, you really should probably find a different pod to listen to.
Have fun with the season. Watch some baseball or don't watch, whatever. Pay attention to the stuff that gives you joy and shut out some of the haters. It's a leisure pursuit. It's fun, friends. If you can't have fun with it, I don't know, go blow bubbles or watch Game of Thrones or something. But it's fun. It's baseball. It's good.
Couldn't agree more. Next week this time, we will have actual baseball to discuss. You're gone next week, right?
I will be on the road, yes.
This is probably something we can discuss after. Don't worry, I'll cut this part out. Saying that, I definitely will not. But anyway, we will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. on the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.